Pentecost, there's a couple things, just a little background on Pentecost. First of all, it was a very ancient festival, the Festival of Weeks, and it was celebrated. You know, just a handful of weeks ago, we did our Passover thing where, you know, we went through and talked about all the different meanings of the foods and everything that they ate. And so Pentecost was an old Jewish festival. This is something that they came together for. It was an annual celebration, and everybody just showed up to Jerusalem to celebrate that. It took place 50 days after the Passover. So Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, going into the Passover, he died on the cross, rose from the grave. So 50 days after the Passover is when they celebrated Pentecost, or the Festival of Weeks, when they would bring their grains and their harvest together and offer them up to the Lord, basically saying, thank you for being our provider, and here is an offering. That shows Pentecost as an actual festival, like that it really was. And then also we see Pentecost as an event, because not only was Pentecost a festival that they literally would come to Jerusalem and offer up this grain or this harvest or a portion of this harvest, but Pentecost was also an event that marked what happened at Sinai. And what happened at Sinai was the people were there at the bottom of the mountain 50 days after Passover, and Pentecost became this time, the 50th day, they called it, this time where the people of Israel, or the Israelites, were basically consecrated by God. That's where he made that covenant. Moses comes up to the mountain, long story short. Moses comes up to the mountain 40 days, 40 nights. He's with the Lord. He comes back down with the law. But all the Israelites at that time were told by God, if you follow me, basically if you love me and walk with me, I will consecrate you a people, a kingdom of priests unto myself. And you will be righteous. So it's again, Pentecost as a festival, we know that, but also as an event, it was this time that marked Israel's arrival 50 days into the wilderness after they escaped Egypt, 50 days after Passover, this arrival at Sinai. In Exodus 19, 3 through 6 tells us, Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, that's Sinai, saying, thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, you have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And then verse 6 says this, and you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. God instructing Moses, let them remember that on this 50th day, 7 weeks plus one day, on this 50th day, let them remember that this is the moment at Sinai when I'm calling them to be a kingdom unto myself. And so it was a time of consecration, not only a festival, but also an event. But here's what I'd like to focus on today. On the remaining time that we have here in this service, we've talked about Pentecost as a festival. We've talked about Pentecost as an event. But I want to talk about, for a few moments, Pentecost as an experience. Because ultimately, that's what the day of Pentecost meant, or came to mean, for the believers. It came to be an experience that they could still encounter today. An experience with God. An experience, an encounter that literally turned a city upside down. Literally impacted thousands on the first day when 3,000 people were added to the church as Peter proclaimed through this Holy Spirit power, proclaimed Jesus, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus. But Pentecost became an experience that included the arrival of the Holy Spirit upon those followers of Jesus in that upper room, which would empower them with God's glory to become His own holy missional people. Now, just a couple moments ago, we looked at how at the mountain of Sinai, how that God said, "You are my peculiar people. You are a holy people, a holy nation," where God consecrated the people as such. And He did the same thing on the day of Pentecost by sending His Holy Spirit in fire and in power to essentially consecrate the body of Christ and say that the Holy Spirit has been with you, but now He will be in you. Now He will come inside of you and take up residence, because that's what Jesus came to do. That was the mission of Jesus. God sends a Son. A Son sends the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit empowers the body. It's a wonderful flow when you look at it that way. And how that Pentecost is not just a festival that we mark on a calendar. It's not just an event that brings to our mind something that happened 3,000 years ago. But Pentecost must also be an experience that is absolutely essential for the church today. It's an experience that Jesus said, "When my Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will have power to be my witnesses." I know last Sunday I was rejoicing as much as anybody. In fact, there was one point I could hardly stand, so I just got down there and wept like a little 4-year-old girl on the platform. It was a holy moment. It was one of those. And I've kind of always been like that. You know, certain people from Church of God backgrounds. Come on, somebody. You know where they started out. You know. But here's what I've always done. I've been in services before. People are running and people are shouting and people are jumping. And all I could do is just start weeping like a little baby girl. You know, I just weep like a baby, and that's all I can do, because it blesses me when I see the Holy Spirit move upon people, especially when I know what those people have been through. And it would be easy for me or any one of you to say, "How is it that they respond that way?" But you just don't know, friend, what they have been through. And maybe if you had been through what they'd been through, you'd react that way too. Who knows? And so on the day of Pentecost, it wasn't just a festival to be remembered. It wasn't just an event to look back on. It became an experience that all 120 believers, followers of Jesus, encountered something that they had never encountered before. You would think it would be good enough to walk, Brother Wayne, walk with Jesus. You would think it would be good enough to see Jesus walk on water. You would think that would give you the credential card to be able to take you anywhere in the world that you wanted to go. But Jesus said, "That's not enough." You would think it would be enough to see the stone rolled away and you walk in and where's Jesus? He's not here. He is risen, just as He said He would. You'd think that would be enough to qualify a person to have enough power. But Jesus said, "No. You tarry in Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high, until you have the experience that I've come to bring. An experience of fire, an experience of power, an experience of authority." And what happened on that day, 120 believers, every one of them. I always like to remind people, Mary, the mother of Jesus, was there as well. There were other women there. We think this is just a man thing. No, this is not a man thing. This is men and women. "It shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, men and women and young people." This is for everybody. It's an experience to be had for everyone. It truly is. And on that day, they experienced fire from heaven. God the Father. At His right hand was Jesus. Glorified. "All authority in heaven and earth is given unto me," Jesus said. And at that moment, the Holy Spirit came into that upper room 10 days on the 50th day after He left. Tarry in Jerusalem. Look at Luke 24:49 now, if you will, please. This was not only a festival, not only an event, but an experience to be had. In Luke 24, 49. Jesus, 40 days after he had risen from the grave, 40 days afterward, Jesus walks and he just suddenly appears. And we've talked about this on that, you know, about the resurrection just a few weeks ago. But here's what he says at the mountain when he was about to leave and go back to the Father from whence he came. Verse 49, Luke 24, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." Pentecost is still an experience for believers today. And we know that when that experience occurred in Jerusalem, all 120 of them, I want to remind people, women were there too. It's not just for the stoic apostles. This is for everyone. This is an experience for everyone. And regardless of their belief, regardless of their customs, regardless of their culture, regardless of their background, regardless of their worldview, regardless of where they stand, this is an experience for everyone. That's why God waited, I believe, until the whole world showed up in Jerusalem, because he wanted a diversity in his church. Amen? All 120 were baptized with the Holy Spirit, and they all spoke with tongues. That was the evidence that the Holy Spirit showed up. The evidence that the Spirit of God has come in and filled my life and baptized me is they spoke with tongues. And you take that, what we read in Acts 2 and Acts 4 and right on through into Acts 10, which that we'll look, if you want to go ahead and turn there, we'll look there in just a moment, Acts chapter 10. And I'll tell you the verses in just a second. Pentecost, not just as a festival, an event, Pentecost is an experience. It's an experience of God's promise. Luke 24, 49, which we read, we realize just what Jesus said. What I'm sending as a promise of my Father. Like the Father promised that this was going to happen. The Father promised that you will receive this. And it was prophesied that in the last days, and this began really the last days that we're still in today, that in the last days you will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Young men see visions. And all that's going to take place, it all goes back to there's an experience of God's promise that is for all of us. It's relevant today. That's all I want to say. It's relevant today. And not only is an experience, is Pentecost an experience of God's promise. Next Sunday, Whit Sunday, that might be how it's on your calendar. That's the same day, Pentecost, Sunday. Sunday, where Pentecost took place, 50 days after. But not only is Pentecost, the Christian Pentecost, an experience of God's promise, it's also an experience of rest. I may have had you turn to Acts 10 too soon, but and that's okay. But back in Luke 24, remember one of the first things that Jesus told them in that passage? Tarry. That word tarry, what a beautiful word. It's not easy to do. It's difficult, actually. But Jesus said, tarry in the city until you be endued. Now imagine if that was you, getting those instructions from Jesus. So first of all, you would say, okay, he knows what he's talking about. So you would listen to him. But even if Jesus told you that, the temptation would be, but you don't understand, Lord. I've seen you raise Lazarus from the dead. I was there when you called him out of that tomb. I saw your feet not sink in water. I saw how you healed the crippled and how you raised the dead and how you healed the lame and how you healed the blind. I saw you do all that. I'm ready now. In the words of Jerry Clower, I want to go now. But Jesus said, no, you don't yet have what you'll need. You can't depend on the history of walking with me for 3.5 years. You can't go by what you have felt when you've walked with me. You can't go by what you've seen when you've walked with me. It's more than an emotion. It's more than a promise. It's more than a practice. It is an experience, and you're going to need this experience that you're going to get on the day of Pentecost. And so it's an experience of rest, but you're going to have to tarry before you do anything else. And that should be a lesson for us. We think we want to do great things for God. We think we want to do small things for God. We think we want to do things for God. Be careful. lest we try to do anything without the power of the Holy Spirit. Anything. I don't want to walk out the door in the morning without the power of the Holy Ghost. I don't want to preach without the power of the Holy Spirit. I don't want to pray without the power of the Holy Spirit. I don't want to go downtown and feed and clothe the homeless without the power of the Holy Spirit. Because I know that the power of the Holy Spirit is an experience for you and it's an experience for me. But you've got to tarry for that, Jesus said. You've got to tarry. And that word tarry, you know what it meant? It has a literal meaning. The word tarry. It's not just some old English word. Tarry literally means to sit down. Jesus was telling them they had to be full of power. They had been with the risen Lord 40 days being taught. They think about the experiences that these disciples and followers of Jesus had had. Yet Jesus tells them, don't do anything. Go to Jerusalem, sit down. He told over 500 of them. 10 days later, only 120 are left. So what happened to the others? 300, and my math's not that great. What happened to them? 80. Thank you. All you math whizzes. Shame on y'all for being so smart. So they're all gone. Who left on the 8th day? Who left on the 9th day? Who had something come up? I can't wait any longer. And if they had just waited, 120 of them did. If they just waited, they too would experience this power. But it meant they had to tarry. They had to wait. Pentecost would teach believers indefinitely that God is calling his followers to just rest in him. To tarry means you just sit down and wait. And I love in Acts 2, it tells us exactly that that's what they were doing. It filled all the house where they were sitting. That's what it said. I mean, they followed his command right down to that one word, just sit and wait. They were waiting. They were... Man, it's an experience of rest. And many of you want the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I personally have talked to some of you, and you said, I've prayed for this thing for months. I've prayed for this thing for years. I can only tell you one thing. Don't stop praying. Don't stop asking. You can't expect how God will give you the Spirit baptism. You can't expect that it will happen on a Sunday morning. You can't expect that it'll happen on a Wednesday night. God might want to do it somewhere else. He might want to do it somewhere else. Don't get discouraged. Jesus has given his Holy Spirit as an experience. For every believer who asks will receive an experience of rest. What I do know, you just have to rest. But I've heard this theology, and I've been taught this doctrine, and I've been held to this tradition. Shut up and sit down. That's really what he was saying. Jesus was saying that. He probably didn't say shut up, but you know. I'm human, forgive me. You're Christians, you have to forgive me. It's an experience of rest. You have to tarry. And Jesus was saying, just rest. And rest, by the way, it's not inaction. It's the be seated with Christ in heavenly places and ask for the Holy Spirit and you will receive. You will receive this. Why? So I can run around? Or so I can lie on the floor and weep? Or so that I can have emotions? No, you've got emotions already. And the Holy Spirit will touch those two. Praise God. But I can tell you, that's not the end. The reason that we receive the Holy Spirit and we love to worship and we love to be free in our lives, we love to believe God, pray God, heal the sick and do all sorts of things. But it's not just so that we could get goosebumps. You can get goosebumps doing a lot of other things, right? You can get good feelings by doing a lot of other things. But I can tell you the reason Jesus sent the Holy Spirit is so that we would all have power to be witnesses. He's calling us to rest in him just like he did on the day of Pentecost. Believers can be free to just abide in God's identity. Jesus wanted them to go to Jerusalem and sit down and wait because he knew what was coming. And he knew how desperately they needed the power of the Holy Ghost so that they could be free to abide in the identity of their Father. That was the point. Here's the last thing. Acts 10, we finally got there. Acts 10, 44 through 46. Let's just go ahead and read all three of those verses. This is on another occasion where something powerful happened. And this time, the Holy Spirit now baptizes people that weren't even Jews. Imagine that. You mean this is not just for us Jewish people in Jerusalem? It's not just for us? No. And forevermore, Acts 10 is where we can point back to and say that the Holy Spirit is for all people, even the Gentiles. That's what happened in the house of Cornelius. Let's look. Verse 44, Acts 10. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision, which believed, they were astonished. As many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out this gift of the Holy Ghost. They were astonished. Have you ever been astonished? Probably not. These Jews, you probably have never been more astonished than they were, because they thought he's called us to Jerusalem, hometown. He loves the Jews more than he does the Gentiles. And this proved forever, God's no respecter of persons. He gives his Holy Spirit to every nation, tribe, and tongue. Hallelujah. Because it's an experience of mission. For they heard them, verse 46, how did they know? This is very, very key. How did those Jews know that the Gentiles had received the gift of the Holy Ghost? Exactly. That's what the scripture says. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. What an awesome revelation this must have been to the Jewish people. That the Holy Spirit, he's for us all. The Spirit of God's for everybody. Yes, because every believer can receive. Because this experience of Pentecost, it is an experience of God's promise, but it's not just an experience of God's promise. It is an experience of rest or tarrying, but it's not just an experience of rest. This gift of the Holy Spirit is also an experience of mission, and probably the most important part of everything that the Spirit of God is wanting to do in your life is so that you would go outside the four walls of this house and outside the four walls of your home and impact the world with the gospel of the kingdom. That is the gospel that Jesus preached. That is the gospel that Jesus carried. That is the gospel that he empowered the disciples to go into all the world and preach the gospel of the kingdom and make disciples of all nations. The baptism of the Holy Spirit gives the power to do that. Gives the power to do that. So it's an experience of mission. God says, I don't want you to do this mission alone, because you can't. It will be the flesh at best. If you go out and make converts in the flesh, you come up with all kinds of systems and formulas and tell people all you have to do is pray with me this prayer and you'll be sealed. The deal's done. We can't trick people into believing. It's just that simple. And you say, oh, time out, preacher. What did you just say? I just said that we can't trick people into believing that all you have to do is repeat this prayer after me and you'll be saved. I mean, what about repentance? What about acknowledging? It's getting a little quiet in here now. What about acknowledging sin? What about not just believing I can repeat these words and be saved, but actually believing that I have to trust and have faith in Christ Jesus and his death on the cross? It's not just as simple. I mean, you can be handed a script and say, repeat these words, and it doesn't do anything. If you don't believe it in here, it means nothing. It means nothing. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to go and not just make converts. In fact, he really didn't call us to make converts. He called us to make disciples. That's what we're called to do. And we do not do it in our own strength. We do it in the power of the Holy Spirit. It's more than just signing your name on a line. It's a walk with Christ. If y'all would come, it's a walk with Christ, an experience of mission. What is my mission? The Holy Spirit gets you on that mission, because it's not your mission anyway, it's God's mission. It wasn't just the early church that had a mission. We do too. And we can get so caught up in what we can do that we forget what God wants to do through us in the power of the Holy Spirit. The power of God's Holy Spirit. It wasn't just the early church that had a mission. We do too. And all people who believe experience God's call to missional community. Everyone that believes experiences God's call to community, to missional community. As we wrap up this service, this is a message for everybody in this room, because it's not my message. If it was a message that I had been trained to give, and that's all it was, I'd be very suspicious of that. But if this is a message that you can clearly open the Bible and read for yourself, the way it all went down on the day of Pentecost, nearly 2,000 years ago. And that's exactly what can be done. You can look at the Word of God and see that everything changed when the Holy Spirit showed up. He gave the church power to be witnesses, first in Jerusalem and Judea, Samaria, and ultimately to the uttermost parts of the world. That's where we are. That's where we are right now. We're going to just open the altars. Something that has been said may have just really resonated with you. And you say, I need this. And you may not even fully understand, what is this? Like, that's the question the people had. And Peter stood up and said, this is that was spoken of by the prophet Joel. That it'll come to pass in these last days. I'll pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. The Holy Spirit might be saying, you need this. And you're like, what is this? And you hear the words of Peter, this is that which was spoken of. You may not be where you need to be with the Lord. And only you know that. I don't know that. And you could even hide it. This is how scary it is. You can even hide it from the closest people in your life, that you are not where you should be with the Lord. It's so easy to deceive and to put on the face, and the facade is so deceptive. But there's one who really knows where you are, and that is the Lord. And on the inside of your heart, He's so loving that He knocks and knocks and knocks. If you're not where you need to be with Jesus, these altars are open for you. You don't have to come, but it might be a really good idea for you to come while this time is here. You may never get this opportunity again. You may never come again. And you also may say, I'm right where I need to be with the Lord. I know I'm trusting Him. I'm walking with Him every single day. And you may really be walking in faith. I have no doubt that there are some here like that. But you say, you know, there's something missing. And I can tell you what may be missing is the power of the fullness of God's Holy Spirit. And He didn't come to beat you up. He didn't come to, you know, receive this or else. He's long-suffering. But if you ask, as a good father would not give a serpent or a scorpion to their children, how much more would the Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? That's the Scripture. All you have to do is ask. That's it. So just ask and receive. The altars are open. We're closing with this song. Just sing this. Girls, y'all sing this from your heart. Anybody that needs to respond to this, these moments, you might just need prayer. You might need prayer for healing. You might need prayer for deliverance. You might want to stand in for somebody. Something might be on your heart today. Don't let this moment pass by as we close with this song right here.
You're are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your grace.
One last time, Holy Spirit. Today. This is all our prayer.
Let us become more aware of your presence.
Let us experience the glory of your goodness.
Let us become more aware of your presence.
Let us experience the glory of your goodness.
Let us become. Y'all got to sing that one last time. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be
to experience your glory, experience your power, experience your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Let us not miss one thing you have for us. Don't let anyone in this place miss not one thing that you want them to have, not one experience, not one encounter, not one thing ever. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that people are praying for us. Thank you, Lord, that Jesus is interceding for us.
Amen.
We thank you for that.
Thank you.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Memorial Day tomorrow. We've mentioned it already. But don't forget, there are people fighting for freedom. There are people risking it all for our freedom, for our security as a nation. I know that there's so much chaos, so much trouble in America. The nations of the earth are troubled. We knew that would be this way. Jesus has a plan in the midst of the chaos. He has a purpose in the midst of the storms that we encounter. And people are still fighting for the foundation of this country. Pray for them. Thank God for them. Remember them. If you've ever been to the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, if you ever have, just put your hand up if you've been there and seen that in Washington. It's really, really a reflecting time to experience that. Remember that tomorrow, Memorial Day. People have died for freedom. And I want to say one last thing again. I've already said it. I want to say it one last time. If in this service you say, I just didn't get what I really feel like God had for me, don't give up, my brother. Don't give up. Don't give up. Tarrying, it's not instant like we like it, but you tarry. When you leave this place, you keep sitting in the presence and the authority of Christ. You just keep holding on. Hang in there. Don't let anybody discourage you or talk you out of what God has for you. The Holy Spirit, Jesus has sent him to the church to baptize his church in power and authority. Just tarry. God wants to give you good things.